From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs here on the Locked On Network. We have a great show for you today, and we're going to go over what is the news of the week, and quite frankly, what's going to be the news until the team re-meets for training camp here in a number of weeks. The Kyle Long situation is in full swing now. There are options. There are a number of things that we have to look at. We have a signing, or at least a tender signing, on the defensive side that will have an impact. We're going to get into all of that and more here on Locked On Chiefs. I hope that you guys are doing well. I know you're not dealing with the news as well as we'd like, but
Are we doing this on Friday?
Oh, let's not do that. That seems in poor taste. I don't know.
Fair enough.
For those of you who don't know, we'll get into the top story right here.
Top story is Kyle Long and his injury. And honestly, I'm not sure what to make of this one. Obviously, it's not a good deal for him, not a good deal for Kansas City. Interesting thing to me, though, is really what came from the presser from Andy Reid afterwards, talking about how LDT was going to be an option and Andrew Wiley was going to be an option. So it almost sounds like they were expecting that Long was going to be a starter.
Yeah, it is. It is definite. I think in the next segment, we'll go through the options after the follow-up, but I agree with you. That's the way it felt as well, that, hey, he's been here. He's been in this role. We have some options beyond him. Now,
which is not a good sign if that's what you're calling LDT and Andrew Wiley comparatively to Long. Now, obviously, Wiley's been there, so you would expect that kind of makes sense. But at the same time, you know, LDT hasn't been there at all, so you would think that he would at least get a chance, but it almost seems like Long was entrenched.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel that way. I think that's up for some banter, but I do want to get you guys what happened, because I've already gotten a ton of questions about a fractured kneecap for some reason. Now, I know that was initially put out. That is not the case. It was corrected later, and as we understand it, there is no fracture at all. Andy Reid, in his presser today, also said that it is not believed to be a ligament issue. That is really good news, because that would be the end. That would be your season there, especially given his injury history. They are confirming that. They're not 100%, but that's how they feel about it right now.
Right.
And that said, if you read between the lines and you've been through these injuries before, what that tells you that this is most likely something like a pretty significant high ankle sprain that can sometimes involve the ligaments, but sometimes it doesn't. Doesn't usually lead to a fracture, but that's something, especially when you're in non-contact drills, you're not doing 11s. Like, there are very few things that I can really imagine happening that are more severe than that. So at this point, without any more information, until it's confirmed and they tell us, I'm going high ankle sprain.
And I'm fine with that diagnosis and that thought process. Here's my problem with it. I hate being this guy, but I was excited about Long coming back. I was hoping he was able to get his body right. Mm-hmm. But to me, this just tells you he wasn't able to. And maybe I'm jumping to conclusions, but and I would love to be wrong, obviously. But coming back and in OTAs having an injury like this, and a severe enough injury to where they're basically saying he will not play in the preseason. And that's 2 months that he's going to be out. And he hasn't played in a year. That's not a good sign.
I didn't take it as he can't play. I took it as he may return by the start of camp. And if he does, then maybe he's okay. I don't know. I mean, they've given us so little information officially that we really can't tell you guys what's going to happen. But given his injury.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, right? It's like it's a theme here.
Right. We don't really get injury information on anyone.
But given his injury history, like, if it's a simple matter of rehab, you know that he can accomplish that, because he's been through this a number of times. It's about the severity. And so, fingers crossed, if they come out and they confirm that it's not a ligament, that it's something else, hopefully we'll find out exactly what it is. I don't think there's any reason that you can't foresee him getting back. And then it's about the chemistry. Like you said, if you don't get a preseason, especially one that's already shortened down to 3 games, which is, you know, for all the players, a change, that makes it tough to gel. I mean, he's a professional.
Well, okay. In timeout, it's not really going to be 3 games, because it used to be 4 games where you'd play in 3.
Right.
He's a guy that wouldn't have played in 3. He's a guy that would have played in 3, not played in 4. So really, he's going to have 2 preseason games, would be my guess. I'm guessing that's how they're going to do it, is that third preseason game will be a lot like the fourth one, and you won't see any of those veterans or your big starters starting or playing. And I think that they were looking at him in that starter role. And even if they weren't, I don't know that they would play him in that game because of how old he is. And I'm not trying to call the guy old, but in lineman terms, he's up there in age. So, yeah. I do think that they would sit him in that game regardless.
Yeah, and I will say this. If there's ever a time, I mean, yes, it's concerning that we're just talking about shells and there's an injury already. But if there is a time, this is the time to do it. I mean, you have, what, five weeks? We don't know the report date for camp yet. 5-6 weeks for recovery and rehab. So it could be worse. This could have happened on the last day of next week's mandatory minicamp, which would set the timeline back even farther. So there's a bright spot there.
There is a bright spot there, and I guess I'll be the Debbie Downer in this regard, is that it was a non-contact injury, and there's nothing like being in training camp, in a training camp situation, or actually playing in games. So if he's getting injured before he even gets into contact, that concerns me going forward for his durability and his ability to play the season. Yeah. Now, he didn't sign a huge contract with Kansas City, so really it was more of a depth contract, and it makes sense. We're thinking that he was going to be more of a cog in the system than he may end up being.
Mm-hmm. And we won't know. And in the meantime, they have to find somewhere to get through. And they have a number of options. Andy talked about them, and we're going to get into them here coming up next.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are going to be back in full swing. And Bet Online even covers award shows, reality TV, all kinds of stuff. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code's locked on for BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I always feel bad. I always refer to Coach Reed as Andy, as though we're best buds. Apologies for those of you that are bothered by that. At this point, covering him since before he came to Kansas City.
You would like to be best buds.
Sure. Yeah. I got a couple
ideas. Just give me a call.
Three fullback formations, Coach. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're going to have to change your entire roster for Ryan's ideas, so please ignore them. But
a couple of spots. I mean, come on. No, but Coach had a couple of things.
Three fullbacks with Mahomes on the roster. Sorry, that's all I got to say. I'm done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pack in that box and send Tyreek by his lonesome. It'll be beautiful. But no, he like you said in the first segment, he brought out some options. And I know a lot of folks are interested to see, like, where do you go from here? And it's interesting to me that the first thing that he confirmed was it's going to be LDT looking at getting some of those reps, even though LDT has been out of this entire offseason so far. I think also we found out that in another comment that there's a little bit of it's been difficult to travel, and that's been part of it. So what we were talking about last week, it seems to have played a role in why LDT hasn't been here. And so now that he's making the decision, mandatory minicamp is mandatory. So he will be here, and I think that's a positive sign. I don't know if he'll get the first reps, but how do you feel about not knowing where LDT is physically right now?
It's concerning, especially considering you're in a situation where you have two of the guys that you were planning on filling in at right guard. And honestly, I will take this a step further and say, and I'll get to that in just a second, but you had two guys that you were hoping to have at right guard in LDT and Kyle Long. Both have an injury history. Both have had reoccurring injury issues, I guess I will say it that way. So not having a clue where LDT is, he hasn't played football for a year. Yes, he's been training. I don't know what kind of training he's been doing. Has he been doing anything like what the football training like we saw Lucas Niang doing? If he has, then that will help. But he still hasn't played football in over a year, so that's going to take something, and he's going to have to get all the rust off, so he's not going to look as good as you would want him to at mandatory minicamp. So it's kind of glad that we don't have to see that, or we're not able to see that, because I'm sure it's not going to be pretty. At least that would be my guess. I hope I'm wrong in all that. But the other thing is that, right now, Rimmer's just your starting right tackle. And I'm a little disappointed by that, because to me, he should be the third option at right guard.
And that's fair.
I think Niang should be the right tackle, but obviously we'll see how it plays out in camp. But I think Rimmer's would play very well at right guard, and at least give you an option, that other option, and I have no problem with Wiley, maybe even Allegretti.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, I don't see a reason why Allegretti can't be there. Sorry.
No, that's absolutely fair. And Andy mentioned Wiley was the other person that he said today are going to get looks. So that makes sense. And Wiley's been there before. I think everybody understands he's replaced LDT before. So there is that. But the interesting thing, and a lot of people have been asking me this in particular, why didn't he mention Trey Smith? And I want to put everybody to rest. Trey Smith is a rookie who's never played a down in this league. And quite frankly, has some learning to do. I feel he was a bit mismatched into this offense. And coming into a heavy zone offense, maybe that means they're changing the offense a little bit, but he's still got a lot to learn. So, like, let's not put the pressure on him right now.
Okay. So I'll play devil's advocate for a moment. You have Creed Humphrey, too. He's a rookie.
Yeah. Now,
I know what you're going to say. Creed Humphrey was at least more ready for this, and he is more fit for this scheme than Trey Smith is.
Yep.
But everything you said about Trey Smith, other than the fact that he hasn't played in the scheme, fits Humphrey as well.
He's not necessarily. Humphrey is a next level athlete compared to Trey Smith.
Well, that's true. So I guess my whole point was, is, you know, you can't just, you can't stop the argument as he's a rookie and you have to, you know, be patient on that.
Yeah.
Because you're in a completely different scenario with the guy right next to him. So,
yeah, I'm just trying to say, like, it feels like there's a lot of pressure being put on Trey Smith right now.
Right.
And I think he had one of the harder transitions, certainly harder than Creed's, into this offense. So
Absolutely. Don't
be alarmed when the Chiefs are giving looks to guys that have played in it before. I don't think that's a concern for his long-term development. And will he start a game this year? I mean, if Kyle Long can't go and LDT becomes your starter, it is highly unlikely that he plays a full slate. So there are going to be opportunities. I think you will see Trey Smith, but let's give him half a season to get in the NFL, get his feet under, understand the offense, you know, get his footwork to the point where he can do all the things that he needs to do, whatever that play call is going to be, and what maybe I think might be a shift in the scheme.
You know, we also talked about a different scenario with Long, with him only playing in two of the preseason games. The third preseason game is built for guys like Trey Smith.
Yep.
He's going to play, I would imagine, most of that game, and you will get a very good feel for where he is in this offense and where he is in an NFL offense in that game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And honestly, I know he's going to be going against other guys that are, you know, scratching, trying to make the roster, and he doesn't have a worry on that part, in my mind. I think he's going to be safely on the roster, but he should be dominating, or at least looking like he knows where he's supposed to be and doing things the right way. It's going to be a question of scheme fit, like you said, because he's not really built for that zone type scheme, and he's more built for power. So, and honestly, like we've always said, Kansas City likes to run a very vanilla in the preseason. So don't expect a ton, you know, that's going to be much more than vanilla play calling.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would love to see Reed change that this year just a little bit. Like throw something out there in preseason like that nobody's ever seen Kansas City run at all whatsoever. And then they're sitting there trying to figure out how to game plan for them in the future. I think that'd be fun.
Make extra work for your opponents. I'm all for that.
I mean, like a 70-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill. Oh, wait, they've already done that once.
Over and over and over. Yeah, okay. Before we move on to the next topic in the next segment, I'm going to get your take on a scenario that I hadn't thought of all day. Now, we got this news earlier in the day. We're recording here into the evening. But a fan of mine over on the other channel brought this up. Would you consider sliding Blythe out to guard, given that Creed Humphrey is taking all the first team reps at center?
I would.
Yep.
Honestly, I don't see a reason why you wouldn't. I honestly think if you think Blythe was good enough, and here's the thing, like, you can say that they were always going to go after Humphrey and that was always their plan, but what happens if they don't draft him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, you can say he was their plan, and I'm not saying he wasn't, but if they are not able to get him in the draft, who's going to be their starter? In my opinion, they signed Blythe with the thought process that he would actually be able to start. So if you think he was good enough to be a starter at center, I don't know why you wouldn't give him a chance at right guard.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I understand the positions are different, but they're not that different. It's not like going guard to tackle. A lot of people don't have the ability to go guard to tackle, but they have the ability to go guard to guard and guard to center. But the big difference with a guard to center is generally most guards don't have experience snapping. This is the reverse of that. So really, I think he could do the same thing because you're still playing basically in a phone box.
Yeah. And let's not forget, he has experience starting at guard for the Rams. So that
I forgot about that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that veteran presence goes a long way. And presence is what they need on the other side of the ball as well. They got somebody back here on Thursday. We're going to talk about Javarius Ward coming up next.
We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. And we recognize it's been hard to keep up with the brackets and all the new flavors. But let's remember, when it all comes said and done, there are a couple things that really stand out, like cookies and cream with 17 grams of protein at 130 calories, or almond coconut, which is one of my favorites still. And you can get a serious discount over at BuiltBar.com by using the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 50% off your next order. That's the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
And like anybody that has a penchant for Built Bars, you got to have some dough to be able to pay for those things. And Travarius Ward had an offer on the table. It took him a while to sign it, but he finally did get that done, and he is coming into mandatory camp.
And I'm glad to see he's at camp, and I didn't realize he hadn't signed his tender, so that's on me. But obviously, it's a good deal for Kansas City that now he signed his tender, he will be there. Obviously, these are still voluntary, so he wasn't, and honestly, he wasn't really missing out on anything, because even if you want to say, okay, well, you're not showing up to voluntary events, well, he's not under any kind of contract, so technically speaking, he wouldn't have had to. But this basically means that he'll be a mandatory minicamp, because at this point, now he's under contract, so he has to be. Now, I know, and I do want to talk more about Ward, but I'm still wondering why Frank Clark isn't. There are some guys that aren't there that just don't make sense to me. They had 80 players, good for them, but Frank Clark is one of them that, in my opinion, should be there. With Javarius Ward, I think it's a great deal that he is going to be there, because he's going to be the veteran on that cornerback group, which is really saying something, considering I think he's, what, 24 or 25? Oh, he's 26?
Yeah, he and Fenton both. But okay. He obviously has a year more experience, though.
So. Yeah.
That's key, and that's what it comes back to for me, like, it's one thing, because you wanted to get all these looks at these younger guys, right, and give them some reps and OTAs where it's, you know, low pressure, you can learn, things right. Go smoothly, right? But you got to have somebody who's been there and done that more than, you know, Fenton, who's played sporadically, and Seed, who has 1 year under his belt.
Well, you have to – the big thing with OTAs, like training camp, you're trying to put everything together. The big thing about OTAs is getting the system down, getting to know where you're supposed to be, and trying to get it to the point where you can go into training camp and be playing instinctively, mm-hmm. and not playing trying to figure out the defense still. So, no, I absolutely agree. It's great for the younger corners. I really wish a guy like DeAndre Baker could be out there on the field, though. I think there is a lot of value for him being there and being able to see what's going on. I think he's probably got a pretty good feel for the playbook already, so I'm not as worried about him. But, you know, you start looking at some of these other guys and you really wish they could just get the reps, and that's really what all this OTA stuff comes down to. And honestly, and I've said this on Twitter, and I haven't said this here yet, so I do want to say this. I understand that some coaches feel like they're okay and they're good in where they are as a team. The one team that I will never understand that from is the Houston Texans, who canceled mandatory minicamp.
Yes. Sort of the Niners. They had some injuries and Kyle Shanahan just called it quits. But I think
that's the Niners
different situation.
Kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because Shanahan has been there, what, 5 years now? Four or 5 years. So, and he's got more of a veteran team and versus.
It's a playoff roster. So, yeah.
Right. Versus a team that doesn't have, that has a brand new QB or a QB that hasn't reported that's your $100 million guy and a new coach and new offensive or new defensive coordinator and all these new players. And, yeah, hey guys, we're doing good. I think I like where we are. We don't need to be here for 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to get that off my chest.
No, you're fine. I get it. And that's, like you said, it's curious, and having Ward there makes a difference. I think that it will actually help another player that I'm kind of looking for. It's been a transition so far for Mike Hughes. The team traded for him. But Rashad Fenton's been getting the nickel corner slots reps so far in OTAs. Now, I know Wednesday, from what I understand, was a pretty good day for Hughes. He made a couple of plays on the ball in practice, pick at least, and something else. So I think he's starting to get used to the system. He's coming along. He's got some natural skills. But I think Tre'Veris Ward is a guy that can help him make the transition. They've played, I think Hughes has actually played more snaps in the league than Ward has. But I think it is about having somebody who's been there that long and can help him actually adjust. I do look for Hughes to play a role in to be one of the top four corners on this roster. I'm kind of waiting for that to pop out.
And to be fair, you also have to look at coaching staff and scheme and whatnot. I do think that Kansas City has one of the best cornerback groups and DB groups when it comes to the coaches in the NFL. I really do think that they've done a very good job, and I think they will continue to do a very good job. And honestly, sometimes just a change of scenery is good for guys. Yeah. So I think that's going to help Hughes as well. I do agree with you. I think Ward being there and being able to help him will help. But really getting in with the coaches and listening to the coaches, obviously you want your players to be your leaders, and you're going to need that. And so that's the role that Ward is going to play into the most. But, you know, all the quarterback coaches are also going to be able to help him as well. So I'm very excited about that trade, because I think it was good for Kansas City to get him for almost nothing. And he was a very high pick, and he just hasn't worked out in Minnesota. But there's a lot of different reasons you don't work out for some teams at times as well. So
yeah, and I do think that Spags does a good job. Spags, Merritt, Madison, adjusting the scheme to what their guys can do well.
Right,
you know, set them up for wins, and that's good. I will say this:
don't have a bump and run corner that you always play off zone on.
Right, that may that come into play. Well, and here's the other thing. For those of you that are concerned about the cap, this was a registered tender. This was not a contract extension.
Right.
This was built into the cap already. This was out there as the offer. So no impact on anything for, you know, Tyrann Mathieu's coming extension or when that might happen or any of those factors.
Well, and the other thing I do want to mention, I'm not sure we've mentioned this on the show yet or not, but the whole reason that Tennessee was able to make this move is because Tannehill was able to renegotiate his contract, or they renegotiated Tannehill's contract. They're already done with that with Mahomes. Mm-hmm. So the only way to open up the cap space to make that move for Julio Jones was the Tyrann Mathieu extension,
yeah,
or a extension with Tyreek Hill or somebody else, or a restructure of Frank Clark. You can't do it with Mahomes because you've already done it this year. And honestly, I really hope, I will say this as well, I really hope Kansas City stays away from voidable years. Because Tannehill taking a two voidable years and basically adding a dead money number of like $8 million to the Titans cap in 3 years doesn't sound like much. But guess what? That crap is going to add up. And you're going to have to pay the piper. And that is exactly what's happening in New Orleans right now.
Yeah, it adds up very quickly. So
yep.
Feel good about where they are with the defensive backfield and, you know, tread lightly with the offensive line. Keep an eye out. That's why they have 18 million offensive linemen on this roster. So we hope that you guys are feeling good about it. Hope that you enjoy your weekend. We will have more for you next week, starting Sunday evening on the audio side and on Monday morning for the video side. We hope that you have a great one. Thanks for watching and listening and doing everything on iTunes for us this week. We'll talk to you next time.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.